بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون، وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة، فإن سلحت سلحت سائر عمله وإن فسدت فسدت سائر عمله، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. We discussed the first two nurs, and just to recap quickly, the first is that a person should make dhikr continuously and with love, with compassion. And secondly, that a person should endeavor to inculcate concentration and devotion solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for any other ulterior motive. So those were the two points that we stopped on. The third nur is Om. خشوع وخضوع اور حضور قبل والی نماز ہی باروح ہے. A salat of concentration and devotion is a salat of soul, is a salat of essence. So it is imperative, and we discussed this previously, that مجدد ملت مولانا اشرف تھانوی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ said that for sihat salat, for the validity of salat, خشوع and خضوع is not a precondition, is not a shart. But for قبولیت salat, for the acceptance of salat, khushu and khudu is a shart, is a prerequisite. So you'll, in other words, you'll only get reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a salat with devotion. With just mere postures and fulfillment of postures, the obligation of salat will be off your shoulder. And this khushu and khudu, the concentration we are talking about, magar khushu or hudur se murad ikhtiyari khushu hai. That concentration which is within one's choice, capacity, that we are speaking about. So therefore we have understood there is a difference. That one is those thoughts that just come from nowhere, which you were not planning. Obviously you came to the masjid not to think about the world and the circumstances and the situations that are occurring around the world. You don't come to the masjid to think about your family and your business. When you come to the masjid, you're thinking of Allah with the purpose of fulfilling Allah's hukam, to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get maximum reward. But then, inevitably, thought starts coming into your head. So this is beyond your capacity. There's nothing that's within your control. So when we are talking of concentration, it's something that is within your choice. And remember, we have distinguished, we said, there's a difference between voluntary concentration and absorption. Absorption is something that is beyond you. That is a special gift given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to certain of His servants, that you become oblivious and totally unaware of your surroundings. So so nobody can have an argument on the day of Qiyamah, for instance, that it wasn't that I voluntarily brought choices, thoughts in my mind. So how can I be subjected to having concentration and devotion in salah? Yes, what we are talking of, when you become aware, now it is in your choice to continue with the thought that has just coming, the flirting thought, or whether you stop that thought and concentrate on the subject matter at hand. If you're reading Surah Fatiha, for instance, to concentrate lightly on the meaning of Surah Fatiha, or to listen to the Imam reading Surah Fatiha. If you are into ruku, to be understanding that you are bowing in front of Allah, you're placing your head, your heart, your body, you are bowing yourself in every form, not only a physical bowing, but a bowing of your carnal desires, a bowing of your jazbat and your wants and your needs, all in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. یعنی نماز کے فرائض واجبات سنن اور مستحبات کی ادائیگی کا اطمینان اور ہوش سے اہتمام کرنا اور دل کو قصدن کسی دوسری طرف متوجہ نہ کرنا ہے. So what is this khushu, this concentration? Because we said this whole kitab is about how to develop concentration. That the fulfillment of faraiz of salat, Therefore, it is imperative, like we mentioned at the beginning, to learn the fiqh masail regarding salah. That what is fard in salah? For example, the utterance of the word Allahu Akbar is fard. The qiyam position is fard. The ruku position is fard. The sajdas is fard. The qada akhira is fard. Primarily, that is the faraiz of salat. And then to know what is the wajibat of salat. For example, Surah Fatiha is wajib according to Hanafi Maslak. To join a surah is wajib. The qoma position is wajib. The jalsa position is wajib. And the first sitting is wajib. The recitation of attahiyat is wajib. Then what is sunnat? The tasbihat, etc. of salat constitutes sunnat, sunnats of salat. So to be aware and to be conscious that this is what I'm doing is a fard act, this is a wajib act, this is a sunnat act, this is a mustahab act. And purposefully not to take your mind towards something else. So, and that aur khud ba khud dunyawi khayal aa jaye balki beshumar wasawis bhi aaye lekin namazi apne qasd aage aane wale azbaq mein mashghool rahe. If the thoughts come by its own without you bringing the thoughts, in fact even if countless amount of thoughts come in your mind, but you just carry on concentrating on the subject matter and don't try too hard to dispel those thoughts either. What lightly, because when you try too hard then you go in another direction of thought completely. So lightly now you're becoming aware that I'm thinking about cricket and he's on 98 and 9, he used to get his century, and you're aware that now you're at 98. Now if you continue with the century of two more runs, now you have qasdan intentionally thought about it. Whereas when you became, you say, Ya Allah, I'm reading Salat and I'm thinking about cricket and I'm stuck at 98. Remain stuck on 98, continue with the Salat. Bas. And when I say continue, very simple. Surah Fatiha. Now you're reading in the middle of Surah Fatiha. Again, lightly on the meaning of Surah Fatiha. Maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Therefore, even the surahs, and we all got patented surahs, those surahs that we read always. Somehow it comes even onto our tongue before even we think. We're not even finished. Wala dhalin in a surah alam tara starts. So, lightly, learn the basic meanings of the surahs. So you'll be able to concentrate on the surahs. That I'm reading Surah Alam Tara, what does the basic meaning mean? And everybody knows what you generally read. So at least those surahs, learn the meaning of. And do not, and this is a khususiyat of Ummati Muhammadiyah also. That certain things they will not be taken to account for, while the previous ummah were taken they will be taken to account for. For example, like one is that all ummahs, if a thought that just comes from nowhere, a flirting thought comes, and you give it no place in your mind, and you become aware, you dispel the thought. You will not be subjected to account for that, because it's not a thought that you brought in voluntarily, which is termed in the parlance of Shariat as hajis. It's just a flirting thought came. It came from nowhere, it just went away also. And many times it happened in Salat. And it's amazing that while you're sitting even before Salat, you're not thinking about anything. Even you're waiting for the congregational prayer, no thoughts. Once you start takbir at tahrima, where the thought comes? And where were thoughts? You in school, who are you sitting next to, who's sitting in front of you, what you did, what didn't you do? And where the thought came from is 15 years back story, 25 years ago story. So when you become aware, immediately chase the thought away. So that is hajis. Then is hadith nafs, that basically now it's the thought starts building. The thing that we require is when you become aware, remember the thought came from nowhere, so it wasn't brought by your choice. When you become aware of the thought, immediately dispel the thought very lightly, continue with the subject matter. Don't continue with the thought. Hadith, this hajis, khatir, then hadith nafs. And the Ummat Muhammadiyah, the khususiyat of this Ummat is that even on the 13th thought, obviously you will not be taken to accountable for. The thought that dwelled the butt in your mind for a little while, that also you will not be taken to account for. Even hadith and nafs where you start speaking to yourself, should I, shouldn't I, should I continue, this thought that is coming in my mind, where you're speaking to yourself, even if it's a plan of the future, whether I should go through with this plan, that also you will not be accountable for. Ulama have written, only when a person comes to the point of azam, where he makes fervent intention to continue with that action, for example, if it's a wrong action, and unless there's an ulterior barrier that stops him, that is beyond his control, he will not do it, but from his side he will do it. Only on that account you will be held accountable for. That is not only regarding thoughts in Salat, but outside Salat also. Whether a person is sitting at home, he's got nothing to do, so unfortunately he's fantasizing. To what extent will you be caught, will be held responsible? Where you continue with the thought and continue with the thought and you make up all plans to the last detail, and the only thing, and you've got a fervent intention to carry out this act that you are thinking about, and the only thing that might stop you is an outward thing that is beyond your control. That ulama have said that even Ummati Muhammadiyah will be held accountable for, but the previous, he will not be held accountable for. Even ham, where a person inclines himself towards one of the two, either to do it or not to do it. And from his side that he has made up his mind as to what to do, what not to do. But nevertheless, as far as Salat is concerned, all those thoughts, and many times what happens, we get frustrated with ourselves. That how is it I'm reading Salat for so many years? I'm here now practicing about this. Even last night Taraweeh, I started so well in the first rakat, and mashallah, I was trying to concentrate what the imam, those that know the meaning, or those that don't even know the meaning, but just to listen to the imam and to understand that this kalam ya Rabb, that is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then within a few minutes another thought came. Don't get frustrated about it. Very simple. Just when you become aware, by the time you become aware, then you are mukallaf. Then you are accountable. When you are not aware, in fact, if your entire salat continues like that, and you're not aware that you are thinking, you can't, in other words, you don't even think that you are in salat, you will not be held accountable. But when you become aware, then don't continue with the thought at all. To ye halat namaz ki baruh hone ki munafi nahi. So even if other thoughts come, that's not that it is against concentration and devotion salah. Aisi halat mein lazzat mahawiyat mein kami aur mujahade mein ziyati hota hai. In this way, then you won't get the enjoyment of absorption, and there will be greater mujahada because thoughts are coming all the time. Thoughts are coming all the time. The more you dispel, the more the thoughts are coming. And by making greater mujahada to dispel the thought, ek ajar mein ziyati ka baayit hoga. One is that it will be more rewarding. So look at this. Look at how Allah Ta'ala is giving us. That despite so many different thoughts in our salat, and we are carrying on making mujahada to dispel this, on our mujahada Allah Ta'ala is rewarding us. On our mujahada Allah Ta'ala is rewarding us. That see, my banda is trying to think about me. And the thoughts are not stopping, they're coming one after the other. But he, when he's becoming aware, he's dispelling them. Allah loves this mujahada. So in fact, in a way, because there is greater mujahada, you will get a greater reward. And then there's another very important benefit. Now look at a negative, which we would perceive to be a negative. Thoughts of other than salat coming in salat. And we would think of it as a negative, but Sharia transforms it into a positive. In the sense that one is a person is going to make mujahada in the spirit. Second is, that a person after his salat, he will think that his salat will be totally incomplete. And this is the feeling that a person should have after his salat. I mean, if he can come to the end of salat and think that I have not performed a salah according to the rank of Allah, according to the right of Allah, this is ayni abdiyat. This is what is required of servitude. This is the demand of servitude. No matter how much you do, you feel it is not enough. And in any relationships, this is beautiful to advance the relationship. If the wife feels what I do is not sufficient for the husband, there will be harmony. If the husband feels, no matter how much he does, what time he wakes up, what time he returns to work, from work, and he thinks I'm not fulfilling the rights of my children, he will carry on endeavoring. Once when you start feeling that you are fulfilling the rights, then automatically the next step is to demand rights. When I am doing this, why don't you do that? So even in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah loves this abdiyat, to annihilate yourself, that after you, one is that towards the end of salat, you are reading this, to acknowledge this, Allahumma inni dhalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira. Oh Allah, I have oppressed myself, a great oppression. You just performed the hukam of Allah, the most important obligation upon you after iman. But then too you are saying, oh Allah, I have oppressed myself, because I could not fulfill it according to the right of fulfillment. So if you think that your salat is not complete, that is what is required. In fact, Mawlana Masrullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say The day when a person thinks his salat is complete, he has performed no salat. The day he thinks he has performed his salat, he has performed no salat. The day he thinks that he hasn't performed salat, he has performed his salat. But this is the taqaza, this is the requirement of abdiyat, to fill this incompleteness all the time. Dusre tabi taur par apne namaz ko naqis samajhta rahega. He will think his salat to be incomplete, jiski wajah se ujab se baaz aayega. And he will be saved from self-conceit and self-admiration. Now this is just, we have to understand this point. One is pride. One is ujab. Both are harmful for a salik in the tariq, in the path towards Allah. To a person walking the path of Allah. Both are absolutely harmful and detrimental. So just to give you the difference. Kibr, what we commonly termed as pride. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined kibr himself. That batrul haq wa ghamtun nas. Not to accept the truth, to argue against the truth. Even you know what is truth, but because of your status to carry on arguing. Many times it happens to us. We know we are wrong within. But I can't make myself feel foolish. Especially with a wife. We just can't accept. We know what she's saying this time makes sense. Although she is naqisul akal, but our argument in this case is naqis. But we will continue with it for the sake of continuing so that nobody proves us wrong. So, that is pride. Because why? What is pride all about? Pride is about the ego. The ego does not want to feel small. The ego does not want to subjugate itself. That is ego. And it's hitting out against your ego, and your ego cannot accept it. So therefore, you will argue. So not to accept the truth. وَغَنْتُ النَّاسِ The second aspect of pride is to look down upon somebody. Both are detrimental. For one's Islam. Even to think I'm okay, you know this Ramzan, mashallah, I'm okay. I came for chilla, for etiqab of my sheikh, mashallah. Ulama have mentioned, even you should check your intention, whether you are saying this for genuine shukr, or to make it known to others. Or to feel you're okay. Even this feeling of okay is not good. One dua Hazrat Hakim Sahib has taught, that is highly effective in removing this. The dua to read when you wake up in the morning. Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik fa minka wahdak la sharika lak falakal hamdu wa lakash shukr. His Hazrat mentions two deadly diseases that are highly detrimental for a person's reformation that becomes a barrier towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The solution is given in this dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is of jealousy and one is of pride or ujab. To feel self-conceit, to self-admiration or to feel yourself to be okay in simple terms. So the dua, Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin. Oh Allah, whatever bounties are upon me, oh ahadim min khalki, or on anybody else, faminka wahadak, it is from you. Meaning, that even if I'm reading salat in the most beautiful manner, or I'm highly intelligent, or I am very articulate in my expression, no matter what it is, all lies from your side. There's nothing for me to be proud about. Or bi ahadim min khalki, or on any other creation, I've got no reason to question. I cannot be jealous, because whatever bounties upon anybody else, whether in terms of wealth, in terms of intelligence, in terms of status, in whatever form what we perceive to be status, is from Allah's side. So in fact, even in jealousy, if you look at the bottom of jealousy and we go into the depth of jealousy, you'll find pride. But your ego cannot accept that somebody got. You feel you deserve. Ego's requirements, it deserves everything. It cannot accept anybody else getting. So in fact, the truth is you're objecting against Allah. Because Allah is the one that distributes. In jealousy, it is objecting against the way Allah Ta'ala distributes. Because if he has intelligence, Allah has given him. He has beauty, Allah has given him. If he has wealth, Allah has given him. He has a beautiful voice, Allah has given him. How can I object? So who are you objecting to in reality? You're objecting against Allah. He might be the outward person, that human being. But the reality is that you're objecting against the way Allah Ta'ala distributes. So Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik faminka wahdak. Oh Allah, it's only from your side. So whatever bounties I have in terms of looks, in terms of intelligence, in terms of wealth, in terms of status, is from your side. There's nothing for me to be proud about. It is not my earned right, it is what you have given. Or whatever anybody else has got is from your side. I cannot be jealous. So if a person reads this dua consciously, inshallah, this jealousy will be removed from a person, and also at the same time, this illness of ujab and pride will also be removed from a person. Ujab and kibar. As Hakim Sahib has written, that when a person is small in his eyes, then in the eyes of Allah, he has got izzat. And if he thinks himself to be okay, then in the eyes of Allah, he is lowly. So each one, we must check, what do I think about myself? That is your status in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the muraqabah we mentioned before, which Hazrat says, that is, we should also engage in, which Mujaddid al-Millat, Mawlana Shafi'i Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to give, that to say that, filhal, Hussein to Tamam, take your name. If you want to take my name, is no problem. You can take my name. That is the truth. But you, for your own Islam, you have to take your own name. Filhal, Hussein to sab Musliman wa may say, sabse battar aur kamtar hai. You are the worst of all the Muslims. Even if you don't believe it, carry on saying it, inshallah, the reality will dawn upon you. Obviously, presently you are not worse than the non-Muslims, because they've got no iman. Therefore, you say amongst the Muslims. Ma'al ke etibar se, in terms of the future, as Hakim Sahib says, ed batore imkan is a possibility. Musliman, ghair Musliman, janwaro, say, be batar or kamtar hu, that you are worse than even Muslims, non-Muslims, even, Hazrat says, animals, etc. Say this, and then the reality will come. In fact, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Faitani, rahmatullah alayhi, has mentioned, and remember what a Mujaddid he was. He was given the title of the Mujaddid, the reformer of the second 1,000 years. If to get such a title, to be the reformer of the second 1,000 years, there must be great kamalat in him. Despite this, Mujaddid al-Faitani, rahmatullah alayhi, says, کہ مومن کامل نہ ہوگا جب تک کہ اپنے کبہائم اور کفار سے بھی کم تر نہ جائے سمجھے گا. The person will not be a kamil mu'min till he does not think himself to be worse and lower than the animals and the kuffar. See what they're thinking is. And mashallah, we made little of ibadah this year more than normal, and now we are on our own cloud 11, not even 9. Hazrat Saadi Shirazi rahmatullah alayhi farmate, this is all from Hazrat Hakim Sahib's kitab, Rooh ki Bimari aur unka Ilaj. Hazrat Saadi Shirazi rahmatullah alayhi farmate hain, ke Allah wale is sabab se farishton par sharaf ko izzat mein bazi le jate hain, ke khud ko kutte se bhi battar apne aap ko samajhte ho. Look what Saadi Shirazi says, that if Allah wala, for this reason they have got status higher than that of the malaika, etc., because they think themselves to be lower than dogs also. And what is tasawuf? The starting of tasawuf is annihilation. And the end of tasawuf is annihilation. And it starts with fida fi shaykh, first to be annihilate yourself in front of your shaykh. And then it carries on, and the status carry on right till you annihilate yourself completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The maqsood is Allah's zat. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, ki wilayat wa qurb ko haq ta'ala se bandon mein makhfi rakha hai. And this is a very, very important point. Wilayat and qurb and proximity to Allah ta'ala has kept it hidden. So therefore, no person, no matter what kamalat you have attained, you cannot make a claim. Because this is hidden. And the Ajib Masla Hazrat Hakim Sahib explains. He says, wilayat, even another two walis, remember there are different fields of wilayat. We should not confine it. Some people, their wilayat will be, for example, in the work of da'wat, inviting people and giving their heart and soul and finding proximity to Allah in that. Some people's wilayat will be through ibadat, that they might not engage in other external, other activities like inviting people, etc., but they get great qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through ibadat. Some people's wilayat might be through doing social work and helping the poor, etc. Therefore, do not judge another activity either. Allah ta'ala has kept, Hazrat mentions that at times a wali of one category will not recognize a wali of another category. For example, if a person's wilayat is in doing social work, probably a person that is involved in zikr and tazkiyah might not understand that person's wilayat. So each one's wilayat is in a different way. So we should understand that. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written that Allah has kept this hidden. And this is the beauty, that nobody can make a claim. Because the result will only be after your death. So how can you make a claim before that? And as Siddiq Akbar used to say, ke insan apne wujud mein do martaba kis qadar gandhi raaste se guzarta hai. That if a person just look at his beginnings, and you'll understand that you have to pass through two dirty passages before your wujud and your existence would come. If a person just contemplates on this, then there is what they have to be proud about. That from two dirty passages that I have come from my father, and then I have been instilled and placed into my mother. And these are two places that a person does not even talk about or even think about. That even his mind doesn't go towards that. Because it is so vile and so faulty to think about. But that is the existence of each one. And then what is there to be proud about? So salah, this is the command of salah. That despite what mujahada you make, and how much effort you make, is that you think you have not completed salat and you've not fulfilled the right of salat. So the third point is about khushu and khudu. What do we understand to be khushu and khudu? Concentration. And for concentration also, learn the different regulations that the fuqaha, the jurists have given regarding the faraiz, what is farz salat, what is wajib. Lightly just ponder that I'm completing a farz act, and concentrate very lightly on the subject matter at hand, and that I'm in ruku, I'm in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ulama have given different explanations of what would be khushu and khudu. In fact, so easy. So one is that people have said that at least in every posture to think once that you're in front of Allah. That means now when I say Allahu Akbar in the coma position, just as I'm reading Surah Fatiha, bring this thought in your mind that Allah is watching me. That Allah, I've presented myself in front of Allah. In ruku, at least once to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is watching me. They're in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means in each posture to at least purposefully bring the thought that you are in front of Allah and Allah is watching you. In fact, Mawlana Husayn al-Madini rahmatullahi alayhi said that even if a person thinks in the entire salat only once, that Allah is watching him or he's in front of Allah, this will be termed as a salat of concentration. So this is your starting point. At least in the entire salat, whereas our position has gone so bad, that the entire salat passed and not once the thought has come that I'm standing in front of Allah. So at least to start off once and then promote it to every posture of salat, and if you can further to concentrate in, or as to what is the subject matter at hand. Noor Chaharum, the fourth point. Is Azim Dolan ka ek darja iske ahal yani zakir wa shagil salik inshallah batofi ke ilahi panch asbaq pure karne ke baad hasil ho jayega. This great wealth of concentration in salat will inshallah be attained by that person that engages in making dhikr and all the teachings of the mashayikh, etc. With the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time completing the five lessons in front. As I mentioned, there are five noors and there are five asbaq. We are discussing the five noors that will help us in order to concentrate, to get this five asbaq within our lives. And inshallah, that will be with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir isme sari umar tarakki karta rahe. Then a person will continue gaining status and higher positions his entire life, when he keeps his lessons in mind. Mar pehle ek chilla in azbaq ka khusus ihtimam kare. But first and foremost, these azbaq that come in the front, at least for 40-day period to concentrate on these lessons that are coming in the front. So this is an ideal opportunity. Many of us, mashallah, with the fazl of Allah, are sitting for our chilla and sitting. So keep in mind the five lessons and try to bring them into your lives every day. Taki istiqamat aur puktagi hasil ho. So the person can get istiqamat and continuity. And this is the crux of everything. Istiqamat by the end. Hazrat Akim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that even the ayat al-Karima that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran al-Karim, Inna al-ladina qalu Rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu, that If you look from the grammar point of view, it is a jumla ismiya, which we termed as a nominative or a native sentence. That sentence starts and begins with a noun. And as I used to say, that a jumla ismiya, yadullu ala dawam, shows continuity. That shows that even istiqamat is required continuously. Even the sentence itself, inna alladhina qalu, rabbunallah, thumma istaqamu. Allama Qadi Tanawullah Panipati Rahmatullah Ali explains the word istiqamah. He says, what is istiqamah? Because in order to get this istiqamah, this continuity, that al-istiqamatu al-i'tidal wa admu zayr, that to be moderate, and there shouldn't be too much turning away. That means there shouldn't be extremism in a person. Wal inhiraf anil haqq, that a person should not move away from the truth. And which way can we check if a person has got istiqamat? Each one can check. Simply, that which Allah Ta'ala has kept, made farz, wajib, sunnat, muakkada, and that which Allah Ta'ala has forbidden, is that in our lives or not? Remember, Shariat is the mi'yar, it is the scale of checking a person's istiqamat. That the faraiz that Allah has made compulsory, the wajibat and the sunnat muakkada, is it in my life, and do I stay away from sin? If a person continues doing this, this is the sign of his istiqamat. In fact, Hazrat Sufyan bin Abdullah Taqafi on one occasion asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that kulli fil islami qawlan la asalu anhu ahadan ba'dak. Tell me something pertaining to Islam that I have no need to ask anybody after you. That means it is so jami, all concise, all encompassing, that there is no need, and in the same time it will benefit me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him simply, kul amantu billah thumma istaqim. Say, I brought iman on Allah, and then be steadfast. So this is istiqamat. In fact, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi explaining this hadith, he says, "Hadal hadith min jawami al-kalim." It is from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's all concise and all comprehensive speech, which incorporates and includes the usul of Islam. And what is the usul of Islam and the fundamentals of Islam? At-tawheed wa ta'a. That the utterances that you made with Allah, the covenants that you made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remain firm on the covenant for the rest of your life. This is istiqamat. So, Sufya have written, al-istiqamatu fawqa alfi karamat. That istiqamat is better and superior and khair, and is better than 1,000 supernatural or unnatural and extraordinary feats that a person engages in. And this was mentioned in regarding Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi. A person remained in his company for 10 years. And then afterwards he asked Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi for leave. So Hazrat asked him, what's the purpose of leave? He says, I've remained in your company for so long, but I have never seen any supernatural feats from you. So therefore I'm taking leave now. I thought I will see things. Like Hazrat explains, that we think this is karamat and this is wilayat and piety where the person flies in the air. He says, Hazrat says, even flies fly in the air. So you're going to call him wali fly because he flies in the air. Or he walks on water. Ducks also walks on water. So these unfortunately are the things that we look for this year as supernatural activities. The yogis, etc. make mujahada. Then Allah Ta'ala gives them certain feats and acknowledgements. Or at the same time, they got no iman on Allah. But they might be even sitting in the air. But that is not wilayat. We look at these things and we get caught very, very quickly. What is a mi'yar? What is the barometer of checking wilayat? It is Shariat. It is Shariat. So as this Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi asked him, that you stayed in my company for 10 years. Tell me, at any given time did you see me doing one act against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said no. That is istiqamat. That is istiqamat. That is piety. To remain constant. And therefore, al-istiqamatu khayru min alfi karamat. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written, istiqamat al-sirat fi dunya sabun. That istiqamat on a path in dunya is very, very difficult. Kal murur al-sirat fi jahannam. It is just like, look what simile and parable Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has equated this to. He says, istiqamat in dunya is just as difficult as istiqamat and walking straight on full sirat. وَكُلُّ وَاهِدٌ مِّنْهُمَا أَدَقُّ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ. Each one, not only what we term to be full sirat, that it is thinner than hay and sharper than a sword. وَأَحَدُّ مِنَ السَّيْفِ. But even istiqamat in dunya is just so difficult. And Fa'av Sahib al-Tafsir al-Mazhari has mentioned one beautiful point. He says, al-istiqamatu la tatasawwar biduni fana'i al-qalb wal-nafs wa husul al-ma'rifati billah. That istiqamat cannot be attained without annihilating one's heart and annihilating one's nafs, and it will be attained with eventually getting the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So istiqamat without fanayat and without husul al-ma'rifat cannot be attained. Istiqamat without fanayat, and I told you the point is fanayat fi shaykh first and foremost, and then a person will elevate himself from there. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh, whenever he read this ayat al-karima of istiqamat, where Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, he would tell Allah, then he would address Allah and say, اللهم أنت ربنا أو الله يو سستينا فرزقنا الاستقامة. Give us the sustenance of istiqama. Now look at the appropriate words he has used. Subhanallah, that shows his faqahat. He used the word farzuqna. Give us the sustenance. Like even the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, of Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna tiba'a. Wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba. Hazrat Hakim Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, used to explain. He says, look at the words that Nabi has taught us. In the same way, I'm explaining that how, what appropriate words that Hazrat Hassan Basri used, farzuqna al-istiqama. Like a person will not leave the face of the earth without the sustenance written for him. The last paper that has been written for you, you will get. The last khari kisri that has been written for you, you will get. It is not possible that you are going to die without the last paper, without the carrot achar that was written for you. So if you understood that you will not die without the sustenance wherever you go, Hazrat explains, that 40 days before that, your sustenance has been planned for you. And you will get your sustenance. Those that came from Malaysia never perceived that they will be eating, maybe last year also they will be here in Azadwal and their sustenance will be here. It was beyond their comprehension and their thought. And from other parts of the world. Allah has written your sustenance 40 days before you even came here, that you will get your sustenance here. Many times I ask the girls in the madrasa that come from Malaysia, etc. You ever thought you'd eat kari kisri in your life? I said, you never heard the name kari kisri. I said, you thought you're going to eat your whole life noodles, but you started eating kari kisri. I said, Allah has written it for you. And you will not die till you don't eat the last kari kisri that is written for you. The last samosa that is written for you, you will not die. So that means your death will not come. In the same way, Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, that farzuqna al-istiqama. Oh Allah, let our death not come till we do not get istiqamat. Like how this food will not miss us, in the same way istiqamat should not miss us. In the same way, Hazrat explains, that Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa, warzuqna al-tiba'a. That this rosy, the sustenance of itiba'a, that means let our death not come till we are not in complete obedience to your ahkamat. وَعَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا, and show us the evil path to be evil. Let us understand it, that this is the wrong path. And do not let our death come without you giving us the sustenance of staying away from that which is evil and batil. So istiqamah is very, very important. That, and Hazrat mentions, Hazrat Hakim Sahib mentions in one kitab, an amazing once the thought was just coming to my mind, that what are probably the things that you can read and the wazaifs that you can read for istiqamat? And then first I opened the Kashkol Ma'rifat of Hazrat Hakim Sahib, and with Allah's karam and Allah's fazl, the page it opened that Hazrat wrote there, that a person should read abundant, Ya Musarrif al Qulub, Sarrif Quluban ala Ta'atik, Ya Muqallib al Qulub, Thabbit Quluban ala Deenik. Inshallah, with the barakat of this recitation, a person will get istiqamat. So to read this in abundantly, when a person also inclination is towards sin, read this towards. And if a person is on itaat, but he's afraid that how long he's going to remain on itaat, read this dua abundantly. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.